All right, welcome to episode 28 of the Helped Podcast. And here's Matt with announcements.
All right, I see what you did there. That was clever. I see what you did. So, dear listener, as you're listening to this, it is Cinco de Mayo. So pour back that shot of tequila and enjoy. Or if it's too early in the day for tequila, I guess enjoy that Negro Modelo. David, what's your Mexican beer of choice?
Oh, man, that's a great question. Pacifico?
All right, Pacifico. So we'll see if we can share a Pacifico with you as we head to Chicago next week for the Channel Pro Network Forum. I'm not sure exactly what the event's called, but we're going to be the Channel Pro Network show next week in Chicago. So if you're in the Chicago area, or especially if you're attending the show, drop us a line so we can find a time to meet up.
But Matt, what is Channel Pro?
But Matt, what? Wait, was that an old lady asking you what Channel Pro is?
Yeah, I'm not sure what that was, actually.
Well, so Channel Pro is a channel community, I guess, of MSPs. MSPs getting together to basically discuss best practices, vendors of choice, services and software of choice, etc. And, you know, this is going to be our first time attending a show like this as a vendor, as an exhibitor, which leads us to today's topic, actually, which is one of my favorites. It's S&M.
What?
Sales and marketing.
Oh.
So we've made a lot of decisions in how we go about our sales and marketing. And so with this big show and this big commitment, candidly, as a startup coming up, we wanted to take you through some of our thought process and how exactly we're deciding what to do in terms of sales and marketing.
Right. And so the idea behind this is that we're going to go through what we've done to hopefully help the people out there that are like us kind of see it or hear about it from us. So that they can either, you know, steer clear or do the exact same thing.
So let's start at the very top. Sales, marketing, what's the difference?
A great question. So proactive versus reactive, right? Sales is more a matter of the outreach via phone or email to specific people. And then marketing is more like, you know, brand recognition and getting the message out there for people to be reacting to and coming to us, right?
Yeah. So now 6 or so months in, what's helped been focusing on? Are we sales, marketing, both?
You know, a little bit of both. And I think that one of the things that we've really tried to do is maximize. We're a startup just like a lot of other startups out there, and it's really important to do the right thing. And so our background or our nature leads us to trying a bunch of things, testing which works and which doesn't, and then trying to go further into the thing that works. First thing, I think, is when we've actually done some of the advertising. Got a couple of different ways that we've done it. We've done it organically. We've done it paid. Where are we seeing the most success, Matt?
Well, I think our most recent big success has been in on Reddit, actually, in the MSP subreddit. I think initially, you know, we got some good engagement just because we're active members of the community. We're there discussing our thoughts on addressing the questions that some of these MSPs have and just being a part of that community and just being organically involved has helped generate some leads. You know, our usernames have helped right in there. Obviously, what we're talking about in some cases is the services that we can offer and the value that we can deliver. And that's led some people to reach out to us privately and say, hey, I'm interested in what you're doing. Tell me more. So I think that's some great organic advertising. We're not advertising so much as we're just being part of the community.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And just to further stress that point, you know, people that aren't a part of that group might not realize that you can get banned from that subreddit and any subreddit if you don't follow the rules. And the rules for vendors are very strict because they want it to be a space, as we all do, where we can do that thought leadership, where we can share ideas, where we can give opinions, but they don't want to be, you know, shilled or tried, you know, sold stuff. And so, you know, we early on, you know, didn't realize, almost got ourselves in trouble. But then from then we said, you know what, we don't need to sell. We just need to be a part of this. We need to understand, we need to learn. And then it'll come from there.
So as regular listeners to this podcast are very, very well aware, we love to shill.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens when we want to go on Reddit and shill?
Oh, man. So I think there's two rules that basically say you can't, as a vendor, actively engage with somebody to sell your stuff if they don't ask you first. I think that's rule 3. And then there's rule 8, which is something like not even being able to post links or things like that to your services unless it's in the vendor, you know, the thread.
I'm kind of impressed that you just have memorized all these rules from...
Hey, I'm a rules guy, man.
I mean, are you one of the moderators on that Reddit? Let me see.
I wish. I actually tried to sign up for small MSP.
Vendor participation is encouraged. However, promotion of any product, including webinars, must be kept to the weekly promo thread. And rule 8, no surveys, market research, etc.
Oh, well, I was wrong.
Fortunately, Reddit does allow for some paid ads. So because we saw that success with the organic engagement, we decided, hey, let's pay for it. How has that gone so far?
So far, so good. And just like I was mentioning earlier, this idea of kind of testing things. I know in the marketing world, there's like A-B testing, there's control groups, there's all this stuff. But for us, we've kind of done a handful of ads for a short period of time to really test them out versus, you know, creating one ad and throwing all of our eggs in one basket and seeing how it goes. Our first ad, frankly, kind of bombed. You know, we had some information on there that we thought was useful. It generated a lot of impressions and a handful of clicks, but it really didn't drive home, you know, too much. Not enough of a call to action, not enough of a real need for response from the people that were clicking. So the second one we did, we tried to bribe our way into the hearts and minds of all of these folks, and we did like a raffle sign up thing. And so we said, hey, you know, click on this link, find out more about us, get entered into a raffle. We'll give you some AirPods. I love my AirPods, so I was happy to be able to share that with the world. That one went a little bit better, but we only did that for a couple of days because I think it could be even better, and our next iteration is forthcoming.
All right, so we're improving what we're doing on Reddit. Why Reddit? Can we take these ads, put them somewhere else? What's the thought process there?
Yeah, so we tried a couple of other options like LinkedIn, and we just didn't see the same return. I mean, same way that we did it with Reddit, where we kind of dabbled. You know, we threw something out there to kind of see what the numbers look like, and they just didn't look good. What we did find on LinkedIn is again, more of that organic stuff. I mean, going into a group and posting about your stuff isn't going to really catch anybody's idea because they're going to be like, oh, yeah, they're just trying to sell something. But going into a group and being thoughtful and you know, maybe requesting data or finding out more about different processes or things is going to really ingrain yourself into that group and potentially get more and more people interested. I saw a post actually on Reddit, believe it or not, where somebody said something like, I've literally only ever bought one thing one time in my 30 years as an MSP that was cold call to me. Did I get that right? So only one time in 30 years of getting cold calls did that person actually sign up for a service.
Cheese of the Month Club?
Cheese of the Month Club. No, but I mean, it just goes to that idea that like nobody wants to get sold anything. Like it just feels funny. Like you get defensive right away. Like, like that's my money. I worked really hard for that. Like nobody wants to get sold, but people want to partner with folks. And that's why it's really important for us to try to set ourselves up as partners.
So now let's turn this around through the lens of conferences. So we've attended a handful of conferences as attendees. We've been part of that community. We've joined in the discussion. We've listened to the vendor presentations. We've, you know, sounded off with some of the other attendees there. Now this is going to be our first time as an exhibitor. Are we moving from that dark side, from community members to that dark side of presenters to pitchers?
Yes, and it terrifies me. I don't want somebody to look at me and be like, oh, there's that guy that was up on the stage trying to hawk his wares. I want people to look at that guy like, oh, that's David. He's a human, just like me. Oh, that's Matt. He's a nice guy. Says funny things sometimes. Let's talk to that guy. You know, I just feel like it's going to put us in a weird light. And I don't know how I feel about it just yet, but I think it terrifies me that it's going to make us, go to the dark side.
All right. Well, maybe we should work that into our presentation.
Yeah, I think we should.
All right. So that's a lot about marketing. I think we see a lot of the value in being organic, being part of the community. And I think, you know, maybe as you scale that needs to change a little bit. But this is where we are now as a small business. Let's talk about the sales side a little bit. You said people don't want to be sold, but does it work? I mean, is it boiler room? Or are we just hammering the phones?
I mean, there's so many sharks in the water. When somebody comes to us, you know, the five times a day where they're trying to sell us some sales program or some sort of appointment setting or whatever, you can tell it's very clearly a sales tactic. They're just trying to get you to buy. when it comes to other avenues for that, like resellers or the channel sales, right, or going to Channel Pro, it seems like that's just a different way to kind of engage. It's a way to do more of that partnering, right? That channel salesperson or that reseller is somebody that has proven themselves with their customer. Then they vetted out this service that is helped or anything else, and they've said, okay, this is good enough for me to give to my customer. So does that make sense? Like, am I talking crazy?
Yeah, I kind of think I get it. I mean, I want to pause on the idea of channel sales for a second and talk more about just that, what you're saying about, you know, the us getting hammered with appointment setters and, you know, people selling us sales, things like that. I feel like the issue with sales and the reason the organic engagements work so much better is because to be organically engaged, you have to be a human, to your point. Whereas so much of the sales stuff is just automated now. Even the marketing, right, so to speak, it's these scheduled email blasts with the, you know, automatic built-in A/B testing and whatnot. And I think, you know, that's the element is if you are going to sell somebody, there needs to be a natural connection there. And I'm sure any, you know, old-fashioned pro sales guy would tell you the same thing, is that you need to actually build that rapport, build that connection. And I think that does come through community, which then sort of leads to the next question. And this is the idea of channel sales. So as we are approaching the market, we've had to consider whether we want to be the guys going directly to our customers or whether we want to find some partnerships where we can maybe leverage third-party sales team, leverage these channel sellers, these resellers of our services, essentially. What's been our thought process there?
You know, I think that the more we can reach, the better. But because what we're offering is such a nuanced service, it's so unique to each customer, I think we've been a little bit tentative, right? We've had a couple partnerships with people that are, you know, looking to sell our wares. But we've made it very clear to them that it comes down to a consultative sale. It's not just saying, here, buy this commoditized product off the shelf. It's, hey, let's get with these people to build a package, to build a solution for you that's going to work in the best way possible.
Yeah, and I can see where that's tough. I mean, if you're that reseller, you don't want to have to consult on every little thing. You know, maybe this is the upsell for part of some larger package. I don't know exactly, you know, how they would best want to position it. But I could understand why if I were just a reseller or sales rep, I might not be especially keen on leading with this. I mean, for one thing, we're a fairly low-cost service offering. So, you know, the commission for that reseller rep is probably not going to be enormous. They don't want to put in that ton of work. So I think it's a situation where right now the onus is on us to really show the market our value. I think eventually we turn a corner to where advertising does its job to generate those leads, and then we'll be able to rely a lot more on that channel sales community to close those leads on our behalf. Once that pitch is done, once there's less, you know, consultation that needs to happen because there's more understanding of the product and you know, how we can be flexible and amenable, that the customer comes to us with an idea of what they need and just says, yes, please sign me up.
All right. We were talking about ourselves quite a lot, but it does apply. And there's a lot of parallels to any other business out there. If you were to sum it up, what would you say? I mean, other than this idea of trying a bunch of things and seeing what works, like what would you say to somebody that was just coming into this marketplace and trying to sell some gear?
I think the first thing is you need to identify if what you have is unique, if people really need it. Because if what you're offering is commoditized, if there's no differentiator, then really the only way you can sell is on relationships. And, you know, I think for our MSP listeners, that kind of is the case. It's difficult for MSPs to really differentiate themselves. You know, companies that maybe have never had IT support externally might think, oh gosh, I desperately need this idea of having a third party is a breath of fresh air. And so maybe for those people, just that generic marketing can resonate with them. But I think for most people, they understand that these sort of services are out there, and there are a myriad of MSPs, you know, ranging from one or two employees up to thousands and thousands of employees. And so I think what you do need is that human touch. You need to if you are an MSP, you need people to trust you and count on you. And I think that's where the organic engagement really is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. You know, especially if you're somebody that's, say, sub 5,000 seats that you're supporting, you know, you're a relatively small business and you're in a situation where you can probably grow pretty substantially by word of mouth. You want your customers, and this goes back to our last episode about evangelism, to be saying great things about you, to be part of the community where you have this reputation of being somebody valuable and trustworthy, because there really isn't much of a differentiator beyond that.
Yeah, I agree with that. We're going long.
We're about to wrap it up. Yeah. On to this week's horror story.
So this one's appropriate for the topic. It's not necessarily a tech support horror story, but it is still a horror story. It's counter to this idea of evangelism in that we were reached out to by a customer who was looking for MSP services. And we had a great conversation with the person. And once they found out that we weren't a full-on MSP, that we were just, you know, MSP support, they said, hey, all right, can you send me to anybody? Can you refer me to anybody? You know, our current MSP is really not doing the job. And I thought to myself, man, that's not ideal. You know, this MSP that's not doing the job is an MSP that we could have come in and helped. You know, I did it. I threw it in there. Could have come in and helped. Whatever. All right. So
you mean you didn't mean to do that?
I didn't mean to do that. I swear I didn't. But we've had, you know, some opportunities, and we've been able to really like turn the corner for some of our clients. This particular one, we couldn't help. So I reached out to that person and I said, hey, you know, I'm reaching out to you because, you know, one of your customers is reaching out to us because they're out shopping for, you know, other services. And I thought to myself, like, man, this is like a real no-win situation. You know, either the guy believes me, just some random person calling and reaching out to him and saying, hey, you might need to look into your systems, your processes, your whatever to see if you can make improvements. Or he doesn't believe me and he just thinks that I'm some sort of like sleazy sales guy. And so it was a really, really tough situation. It was a horror story for me personally because, you know, we're here to help and, you know, it's in the name of the company. It's the thing that we can never not make the puns for, but we're here to help. But it's a really tricky slope when you're trying to sell something to somebody because you're coming from a different perspective. You're coming from a different angle in almost all cases. In this case, I wasn't, but I still don't think the message landed.
Yeah, I mean, I understand we want to create that feedback loop. We want to help our clients improve their offering. But I can imagine leading with that, telling a prospective client that we're calling them because we know they're struggling, it's a little bit awkward.
Yeah, so it was a horror story, something I'll learn from, something I won't do again. But we'll just get better.
Speaking of awkward, thanks for listening.
Vroom, vroom!